Like, as women get older, they generally find men their own age, like, attractive pretty standardly. And as men get older, like, the most attractive age to them is, like, I think, like, 20 or 19. And I think they chose, like, also something that's a bit frightening is, like, I think 18 or 19 was, like, the youngest age possible to choose. So, like, who knows? Also, like, I think they chose, like, 18 or 19, like, very, very young as, like, the most attractive age, which is, like, on a, yeah, like, it's just, like, very disturbing on many levels. So then when I think about, like, biology and, like, people using biology as a way to, like, justify certain behaviors that seem slightly, like, obviously, okay, 18, 19, like, you're legal, you're of age, but in the same way, it does feel, like, slightly predatory and, like, creepy and, like, why are you a 50-year-old man who's interested in a 19-year-old person in the first place? Like, what's wrong with you? That's what's, you know, just coming to my mind anyway. But there is, like, this very, like, with evolutionary theory, there's this, like, clear divide between what men like and what women like, and it feels so generalized in a way. And, like, yeah, I know it's taking, like, the averages, but it's also, like, there is a lot more diversity within human behavior between the sexes and also, like, within the sexes than a lot of these studies, like, you know, acknowledge. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot I can say about it kind of, like essentializing biology in a way, or, like, being deterministic about biology, is that this, because, like, there's, like, it runs so deep because, like, there, yeah, the theory about female and male sexual selection comes from the fact that, like, I guess females have more, what's the word, like,
power, in a sense, that,
like, with reproduction, I mean, like, they need to invest more, so they care more about, like,
about mate choice who to invest their energy,
that's why they and then, like, so there's that fact, and then people have the theory that, like, oh, well, that's why they choose, like, older males, and that, like, males can, like, mate with anyone they want whenever, basically, and so they're just basically looking for, like, young females, so that's, like, gonna max, and, like, I don't know, it's theory based, so it's not necessarily completely true, and there is evidence, but it's also, like, when we think about when these theories were created, like, I've been learning about it in school with, like, Wilson's sociobiology, which also got, like, a lot of pushback from people for it being, you know, very determinist in a way, but, like, this was theory that was made in the 70s by a white man, and also, like, it's not unbiased. Like, a lot of the other theories that he said that is kind of, like, included in this original theory of, like, sexual selection that he put into perspective are also, like, yeah, you know, it's normal for, like, males to be dominant or to be aggressive and stuff like that. So there's a lot of questioning with, like, how much of this is the, you know, just justifying the status quo, and how much of it is actually biological. Like,
right.
Yeah.
As always, we need more research in general. More research is required. And yeah, there is definitely a push for sexual selection, which I believe that it is a component of beauty standards, and especially female beauty standards, but it isn't everything, as always. There's so many other factors where, you know, our media comes into play, culture, and just the way that our society is structured right now. And so this goes into our second, or I guess our next point, is that these beauty standards, which are rooted arguably in evolution and biology, are reinforced by capitalism.
Yeah.
Big old word that we normally use on the show. And it exaggerates this sexual selection mechanism. So this is things like, you know, having makeup to make your eyes look bigger, having mascara, and red lips, having lipstick, wrinkle cream, so you have clear, young, youthful-looking skin, things like exercise DVDs, diet industry, trying to always lose weight and being thin. It's all this cycle.
And also, like, I think a big part of how we view age in women too is that there are so many, like, I think, okay, just backing up slightly, is that I think a lot of the ways that we interpret sexual selection is based in culture and based in, like, the patriarchy and capitalism. So, like, there's no examples of older women who are considered beautiful, I guess, societally in a lot of media. And we see, like, it's, yeah, like, it is giving us messaging. Like, we see a lot of older men who are, like, silver foxes, George Clooney, like, all of these types who are, like, really celebrated for being old, because there's like two standards of beauty for men, where it's like the boy and the man. Like, now you have like a rugged sense of beauty for like being a man. Like, you have more wrinkles and like that's attractive and yeah, you're like rougher looking or something. Like, but then for women, like, the only thing that's ever been pushed towards us is that, like, it's pretty much the standard is the girl. Like, there's no standard of beauty, like, for a woman. And I think, yeah, we're influenced by what we see, and we don't see a lot of older women being cast in, like, I don't know, roles that are supposed to be beautiful. Like, it's always kind of like the old withered hag or something, you know? I think that's a lot of society doing that.
Yeah, once you get a wrinkle, it's over. You can't go back on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is a lot of this is reinforced by all these young, very attractive white female models and actors who are on the TV shows and the films and the magazines and the social media and the advertisements that we all see. Especially, I'd say, social media, usually what gets the likes and what gets the reposts is someone who's thin, white, and attractive as a woman. And they're the ones, especially in the shows or the advertisements, etc., who get the guy, or that they're worthy of attention. Back to the show that I was watching, The Summer I Turned Pretty, and the hatred towards the main character of her not looking exactly like the beauty standard, but getting all the guys.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, we are also reinforcing ourselves, sure, the same thing. And how do we remove ourselves from that and get rid of that cycle?
Yeah, because it's not like women are just separate from the patriarchy. Like, everyone has been taught these regulations in a way to, like, keep people in check in their femininity or in their masculinity and not let things get confused or, like, the standards be changed, because that's what keeps the system going. So, when we see this kind of thing happening, people are very quick to, like, protect the system in a way, too. And also, just by, like, shaming other women, that's a way of protecting the system as well.
Exactly.
With capitalism, were you going to say something?
You,
I feel like I was
going
to change the subject a little, though.
After you.
Okay. I just want to, like, comment quickly. I know it's been talked about a lot already, but, like, with capitalism, it's so obvious that, like, just with trend cycles, I'm trying to say, is that there's never going to be, like, one achievable sense of, like, okay, I made it. Like, finally, I'm beautiful. Like, as soon as you think you have it, okay, now you have to, like, dissolve your, like,
or
what is it called?
Shave, like, Brazilian your eyebrows
butt
or
implants. Oh, yeah. Like, now that's going to be dissolved. And now we're, like, taking fillers out. And now we're going to go more natural and more skinny, more cocaine chic. Oh, actually, let's get Ozempic in there. Actually, okay, wait, now curvy is in style.
And now we want muscles.
Yeah, now we want muscles.
And now,
like,
we want
not shown too much. Wait, like, doe eyes, clean girl, strawberry girl makeup. Like, just, like, it's just, you know, it's ever-changing. So, like, never attainable in the first place. It's just a joke. It's a big joke that we ever could get there anyways.
And these micro trends, they're making even more money now, because now we're all switching up all the time.
Like, TikTok is that's just like a place for advertising as well. Like, oh, guys, like, get this new phone case where you can put your lip gloss inside of it, because this is like Hailey Bieber's, like, Diet Cola lip gloss. And it's like,
oh my.
We will never be free under capitalism, for sure.
So that's the take on capitalism. It's tricky. We've been looking into ways that you can embrace authenticity and how to separate yourself, because actually not separate, I don't think you can ever separate fully from the system that's been created, and especially with female beauty standards, but there are ways that you can minimize it. And I've had some personal anecdotes that I've gone through. I think DJ Star has also some points about embracing, I guess, uniqueness and not the Western beauty standard exactly.
Okay. Should I start?
You start.
Okay. I guess something that seemed very impossible to me in high school, because I think when you're young, it is kind of most prevalent and you're the most influenceable. You know what I'm saying. Like, as a child, as a teenager, to, like, absorb all these beauty standards. And I, like, could not go out without wearing makeup. And I was like, oh, like, you know, thinking, like, oh, I'm so, like, ugly without makeup or whatever. And then I started, like, forcing myself to go out. Like, it sounds so ridiculous, too, like, thinking about how, like, big it is to go out without makeup. It's like, whoa, like, mm-hmm. what a big move. And then, like, I would go out and be, like, so insecure, but I'd just be, like, existing in the world, no makeup. And, like, it would be really hard. Like, I remember the first few times I did it after, like, getting so into makeup and so into, like, my appearance. It was really difficult, like, just mentally, psychologically, mm-hmm. like, seeing yourself and, like, reflections and stuff. You're like, what? No, like, this isn't, like, I don't, like, it's so, it feels vulnerable. But the more you do it and the more you, like, allow yourself to be, just be yourself, I guess, like, when you're talking to even your friends or to, like, at an event or, like, on a date or, like, talking to a guy, it's like, no makeup. But then you kind of just realize, like, nobody's really treating me that crazy differently. Like, a lot of it, at least for me, I want to think that it's way more in my head than other people's heads, like, how I view myself without makeup. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, I don't think I've gotten treated, like, so differently as well. So then I'm just like, oh, okay, like, maybe that aspect of the beauty standard was, like, so self-imposed that I took it a little too far. And, like, I was so scared of not wearing makeup. Mm. And also, kind of similarly, like, I shaved my head, like, a month ago or so, and for a while, I was, like, so scared, like, oh, God, like, I'm going to be hideous, like, without my hair. But then, like, it's more of, like, the mental barrier of, like, getting over the hump of, like, people are going to think I'm ugly. And mm-hmm. then when you get on the other side, you're like, actually, like, people just told me I was going to be ugly. And maybe I'm not. You know what I mean?
And no one, and everyone will just move on in 2
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, like, nobody really cares. That's my story, I guess, so far.
Mm. Yeah, I see similarities, especially with the makeup thing, because only recently I've sometimes go out in public, for example, to the mall, where I didn't wear makeup, and I was like, oh my, everyone's looking that I don't have eyeliner on right now. Oh my gosh.
And, like, where's her eyeliner at?
No way. And even just randomly, I went to the local bar wearing sweatpants and no makeup and glasses on, and I felt scared for some yeah. reason. And, you know, I, at the end of the night, I would like to say that I felt good, but I still felt really scared because I just went out and did something that I'd never do before. And the fact that I'm thinking, you know, oh my gosh, everyone can see that I'm not wearing makeup and I have my glasses on, etc. But you just have to push through it. And you got to move forward because no one cares. No one cares. They're all focusing on themselves.
And in a way, it's, like, depressing. But even if you, like, don't look that good, I feel like men don't care that much. Like, they're still going to be like, you down, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
True. And as well, one big thing for me, what I've been doing recently that's helped me the most, and I'm still trying to go through it, is reframing the way that I look in mirrors and reflections, because I'm a type of person who, every time I see a reflection of myself, whether it be a car door or I'm near a puddle, I'm like, I gotta look at myself. I gotta check my hair. And so I've been thinking to myself, you know, why do I need to check what I look like right in a second? Why does it matter that much? I'm just in movement right now.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's gonna even happen if I check myself out and touch my hair and move it a bit. You know, what is that gonna do? And so just taking that step of not actively trying to look at myself has helped me a lot.
Yeah. Just, like, get out of that, like, mindset and, like, constant evaluation of yourself, too.
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest one. And as well, I don't really have social media, but I do have YouTube, and I limit my content to creators that are more authentic and don't base their whole YouTube channel off how the way they look. But it's more for what they do, like going for runs or photography, etc. So, and last, you can't please everyone. I mean, you can just, like, accepting that, you know, you could be the Western beauty standard, but there will still be people out there who won't find you beautiful.
Yeah.
There's someone who will think someone else looks beautiful in a different way. And so you can't please everyone. So it's just accepting the fact that you can't please everyone and be everyone's cup of tea.
And also, I think just one last point that I'm just kind of formulating right now is that, like, you don't, like, people always say that they, like, do makeup for themselves or whatever. They, like, you know, present a certain way for themselves, even though I feel like most of the time it's not for themselves. Like, a lot of women are not going to be, like, putting on makeup every single day if they're not going out, at least, and, like, you know, feeling that pressure. So I guess in a way for me to, like, care less about my appearance, I'm like, what matters more to me, like, in terms of, like, doing something for myself is, like, actually having the... Because it is bravery, honestly. Like, it sounds, like, so small, but it is bravery to, like, show up fully as yourself as a woman and, like, not wear makeup or, like, not have, like, a certain look that you're, like, gearing towards somebody else.
Exactly.
And, like, what matters more to you is, like, do you want to be more yourself or do you want to appeal more to others? And then, like, centering yourself back and, like, like, I think I should care more about myself and, like, myself as a person rather than myself as, like, an object, because in a certain way, like, we do view ourselves as objects because it's so, like, internalized, I guess, at a certain point. And, like, just working on unlearning that and thinking of yourself more as a person who can work on being brave or work on being, like, authentic or genuine or something like that. Like, just reframing it has helped me a bit. And it's almost more of a challenge, like, oh, can I do this? Like, can I shave my head? And then, like, you do it. And then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't so bad. Like, you can keep working on it. But, yeah, it's hard to fully escape, I guess, ever. Because, you know, it's embedded in our society and in our minds. But it's you know, just got to try working on it.
Exactly.
Every day or whenever you can.
Because with, I don't believe that you can ever get rid of it or the idea of these standards. And I think there will always be some part of girls and myself out there that will always be insecure of a certain bit of this idea that's pushed onto us, because wherever we go in life, these images and these advertisements, social media, will always be there. They're always going to bombard you. And so you will always see it. But it's just the fact of how much emphasis do you want on it, on your life.
Yep.
Anyways, that was the end of our talk. For today, I believe we've hit most of the points that we wanted to hit. And we've not actually gone through a lot of our music, surprisingly. So we are going to go into some of our last couple songs here.
Yes. And just kind of on theme, because I was feeling a lot of anger when I was, you know, doing this research on, like, biological determinism and stuff. But the next song will be Take the Mirror by White Lung. They're from Vancouver. Some punk, female punk. I love this band so much. I hope you do too.
Enjoy.
greatest chef. Max and Maria dream of skating for gold. Alex dreams of a life free of needles and pain beyond the walls of a hospital room. Right now in Canada, more than 10,000 children are being treated for cancer, and one in five will not survive. When you support Childhood Cancer Canada, you help fund critical research and provide financial assistance to families in their fight. Give life to dreams beyond kids' cancer at livefordreams.ca.
Join us every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific for Bitcoover FM, featuring the best in chiptune, video game soundtracks, synthesized music, history of electronic instruments, and more, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We'll see you in the virtual plaza, and remember to synthesize with nostalgia.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby from Simon Fraser University. Wow, I completely messed up that script. Okay,
that's
this is
okay.
CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, community campus radio from Simon Fraser University. There we go. That's
beautiful.
Right.
Flawless.
Flawless, thank you. This is Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7. I'm DJ Coco.
And I'm DJ Star.
The last song you just heard was called 222 by Taishi and Loyal Lobus from the album Make Believe I Make Believe. Love that album. And the one right before that, I think
that was,
we've already
that
introduced.
Was Take the Mirror by White Long.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to come on here and give our regards because it is almost the end and the top of the hour. So thank you so much for tuning in to us once again. We really appreciate it and hope you enjoyed the topic for today.
Yeah, we thank you for joining us. And Bitcoover, yes, as we maybe mentioned, maybe not, is at 8 p.m. today. So keep tuning in for that. And the next song that you're about to hear is Wild Coyote by Riverbug. They're from Vancouver. Saw them a couple weeks ago at Green Auto. They were really good. Please enjoy.
Enjoy. And bye.
And bye.
See you next week.
See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. on average.